Good morning, everyone. Today, Be'ezras Hashem, we will continue our discussion of Hashkacha, of Providence. Last week, we saw the view of the Rambam. The Rambam stated that greater people receive a higher level of Providence, and more specifically, we saw two approaches how to understand the Rambam. One which was more naturalistic, in which the higher level of providence received by the Hasidim is natural, and one in which it's more supernatural. However, even within this approach, namely the more supernatural approach, still the providence is a necessary outgrowth of the cleaving to God, and moreover, it's likely to manifest itself, as we saw, in more naturalistic senses, such as good decision making as opposed to supernatural intervention. But either way, we saw great debate in the Rambam. We also saw how the Rambam felt that the different perspectives about Hashkacha can be seen in the different views of the characters of the people that appear in the book of Iov. This notion can be found in many of the interpretations of Iov, though with different understandings. For example, if you take a look at the Sefer HaIkrim from Mamar Revi'i Perek Zayin, which you could see on page 29 of your source books, he writes a similar point. Uma shehevi anashim lasalek hashkacha im heyosa modim b'yediyas Hashem Yisborach hu roa haseder shenimtza lefi da'atam betovos ha'olam vira'usav. What causes a person to deny Hashkacha more than anything else is not so much philosophical questions such as foreknowledge and providence, but rather it's seeing and looking at the world and seeing tzaddikim, sheralahem, rishayim v'tovlahem. It's seeing the seeming inequality in the world which causes a person to deny Hashkacha. And therefore, the Ikrim too understands that the whole book is a debate about Hashkacha, with the maskana being that there is Hashkacha. And the response to the question of Tzadik Viralo and Rasha Vitovlo is not one of lack of Hashkacha, but one of the many other approaches. What's interesting is if you compare that to the Drasho Saran, for which you could see a short paragraph on page 30, and we'll see more later, he understands that, at least on a very superficial level, the resolution of the problem of Tzadik Viralo is because there is limited Hashkacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't necessarily intervene, as he explains, Kevan Shenitan Rishus L'Mashchus Eino Mavchen Bein Tzadik L'Rasha, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow there to be, let's say, some type of disease that comes to a city, there is not necessarily going to be avchana under most circumstances. That's even how he explains why in Yetzias Mitzrayim there was a need to put blood on the door and why that was such a tremendous miracle. So here too we have the different perspectives. However, today's shiur we are going to focus on the view of the Ramban. Just as we saw, there is great complexity and ambiguity with respect to the position of the Rambam. As we saw, there are those that argue for a more naturalistic interpretation and those who argue for a more supernaturalistic interpretation. There is great unclarity and even debate about what the Ramban held. And when it comes to the Ramban, it's particularly striking because he says two different things which seemingly are contradictory, and moreover, he says both of them with such stridency that it's inconceivable that there's actually a contradiction. And he says each one of these things so many times. So we'll see today, to try to understand the Ramban a little better, we'll look at the Ramban in 8 or 10 places. And in 4 or 5 of the places, we're going to see that he seems to be saying that anyone who says there's such a thing as teva, ein lo chelek b'taras Moshe, everything seems to be providential. And yet in other places, he's going to seemingly adopt a view very similar to that Rambam, in which we distinguish between those who are righteous and those who are less righteous. When it comes to regular people, there is such a thing as Tevan, such a thing as Mikra. Moreover, he's even going to quote the Rambam approvingly with respect to his position on Hashgacha. So, not only does there seem to be a contradiction, and Be'ezras Hashem will try to resolve it to some degree, but each position he says in many places, and each position he says very, very powerfully. It can't just be that he forgot about what... I mean, the Ramban never contradicts himself, but even for a thinker less than a Ramban, if you say something is Ein Lo Chelek B'Torah Moshe, if you believe it, and then you seem to say it a couple pages later, so it's going to be a problem. So that's what we're going to work on today. So we're going to begin with the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. This is on page 31 of your source sheets. And here the Ramban begins. He says, I'm going to tell you the reason for many mitzvos, because since Avodah Zarah proliferated on the earth, there were various positions with respect to the nature of divine providence. There are those that said there is no providence at all. There are those that said that God's knowledge is only of generalities, not of particulars, or perhaps he has knowledge but no intervention. And all these are wrong. And he says, therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show the world that he indeed is Mashgiach, he performs miracles. And miracles show everyone and clearly demonstrate that there is providence and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Turning now to the page, top of page 32, they show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world because, as the Rambam already noted, miracles clearly demonstrate that Aristotle's theory about the eternity of matter is erroneous, and thus miracles show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yodea Mashkiach V'Yachol, and moreover, if they're predicted by a prophet, it proves Nevuah. And then he continues, third line on page 32, V'lachein Yomar HaKasav B'mov Sim L'man Teda. That's why when it comes to so many of the miracles, for example, in the Ten Makos, and the miracles surrounding Yetzias Mitzrayim, the psukim keep on saying Laman Teidak Yane Hashem, Laman Yedu. Why is that? Because these miracles show Kilo Azav Osa Lemikrim Kedatam. Now this is already an important line. What do the miracles prove? The miracles prove that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not abandon the world to happenstance. They don't necessarily show that every single thing is that happens in a world is directly exer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that there's no mikra, but they do show that lo azav osal mikrim kedatam, that God does not abandon the world entirely, at least, to happenstance. And skipping a little, uvavur ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yase osu mofes b'chol dor le'enei kol rasho kofer, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do miracles in every generation. Every time someone says there is no God, or he's not Mashkiach, God does not strike them with lightning or perform some other type of miracle. Therefore, God commands us to constantly remember these miracles through the mitzvos, hence there are so many mitzvos that are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, and likewise to teach this to our children and our children's children, to remind them of these great miracles, and especially the great miracles that happened once in history, the events surrounding Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. And thus we have many mitzvos, for example, Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Seder and Tefillin. He also mentions by footnote 45 mezuzah. Mezuzah is a little bit problematic because mezuzah does not seem to have anything to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't mention Mitzrayim, and yet the Ramban frequently quotes mezuzah among the lists of mitzvos that are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore constantly remind us that there are miracles. The Brisker Rav asked this question in his Perish al Chumash, and there are different answers given, but at the very least, I think it highlights a point that we see frequently in the Ramban, which is that there is a very strong correlation between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Briyas HaOlam. Namely, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu proves Briyas HaOlam through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hence, the Ramban in this week's Parsha points out, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hoteisicha me'aretz Mitzrayim. God introduces himself, as it were, at Matan Torah, not as the God who created the world, but through Yetzias Mitzrayim, because through Yetzias Mitzrayim we know he created the world. And thus, the Ramban explains, that's why we say in Kiddush, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the obvious question is, what does Kiddush Friday night have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Shabbos is a commemoration of Bria Sa'olam. It's certainly Zeichel L'Maaseh Bereishis, but how is it Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim? And here too, the answer is that there is this strong correlation, because our correlation, our connection to Achdus Hashem, as we see in Mezuzah, and generally to our knowledge of God as Creator, is through Yetzias Mitzrayim. And thus, there are many mitzvos pertaining to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Turning now to the top of page 33, and therefore, Chazal say you have to be very careful even about small mitzvos, because small mitzvos point to God as Creator and Mashgiach. And now we'll read from the bold, the Kavanas Kol HaMitzvos, Shenamin Belokeinu V'Noda Elav Shehu Bira Anu. Thus, not just the mitzvos, such as tefillin, which are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, but all the mitzvos are all about the following. What is the purpose of mitzvos? The purpose of mitzvos is so that we recognize God and acknowledge that He created us. It's to instill within us correct beliefs. V'hi kavanas hayetzirah. That's not just the purpose of mitzvos, but all of creation. The world was created. Why? She'ein lanu tam acher b'yetziah rishona. Ve'ein el elyon chafetz betachtonim milvad shiyeda ha'adam v'yodeh lelokav shebara'au. The purpose of creation is so that human beings can freely choose and recognize and acknowledge that God created them. V'kavanas romimus hakol betfilos, v'kavanas bate kinesios v'schus tfilos harabim. That is why we gather together in shuls, why tfilah betzibur is so important, why we raise our voice in davening, is also that we can publicly declare and publicize to the entire world our belief in God. That's how the Ramban, for example, in Parshas Emor explains what Mikra'i Kodesh are. Yantif are called Mikra'i Kodesh because Shehu Bayom Hazeh Kulam Kruim V'Nesafim L'Kadesh Shoso Ki Mitzvah Hi Al Yisrael Likabetz Beveis Alokim B'Yom Oed L'Kadesh Hayom B'Farhesya. So many mitzvos are to do this point, to publicly declare our allegiance to God. Now, with this we could also understand why, for example, the mitzvos pertaining or that relate to this are so important. Just to give one illustration, though there are many, the Gemara in Brachos Mem Zayin Amud Beis cites a story how Rabbi Eliezer freed his Eved in order to make a minyan. And the Rush, among others, points out, this is very surprising, after all, there's a biblical prohibition against freeing an Eved, li'olam bem tavodu, and yet making a minyan would only seem to be a din d'rabbanan. And the Rush answers, yes, that's true. We're not talking about a minyan d'oraisa, like Amalek, but really, it's even a minyan d'rabbanan. But what? Mitzvah d'rabim shani d'alam aseh d'rabim d'chsiv v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. This mitzvah, to be mefarsem Hashem, lekadish Hashem berabim, to say kedusha and the like, is so important that even if it's a midrabanan manifestation of this mitzvah, it allows us to violate an iser d'oraisa to carry it out. And that might explain a number of halachos. Why, for example, even when it comes to zimon, which is kishem Hashem hakrav ugod elokeinu, there's such a chiyuv to try to get a zimun. The halacha and simin, the kuf tzadi gimel, is chayavim. A person has to be look for a zimun, right? Mitzvah shiachzuru achar shlishi. In kuf tzadi zayin, it says that you have to give a person food so that he could be mitzarif and the like. And that's because these mitzvos in which we publicly declare God's existence are particularly important. And thus the Rambam continues. The famous line, "Uminanisim agdolim hamefursamim adamode benisim hanistarim shehem yisod hatarkula." These great nisim hanigiluyim, like those that happen through Yetzias Mitzrayim, are what cause and allow a person to recognize the nisim nistarim, which are the yisod lakol tarkula. What are nisim nistarim? For the time being, we'll define them as hashkacha in the world in a way which is deniable. Meaning to say, a person can argue that this isn't hashgacha, it's just the way of the world, but rather it is hashgacha. Thus, the Ramban is going to say that the various Yehudim that the Torah promises, if you follow my mitzvos, the chukosai teilechu, vetz mitzvosai teshmoru, then menasati gishmechem b'itam, menas naharitzi v'ulah, etc. Of course, nature, according to natural law, there's no correlation between performance of mitzvos and the rain. And yet, these are the nisim nistarim that the Ramban says is the yisod ha-Torah kula. She'en lo'adam chelek b'toris Moshe, Rabbeinu, ad shenamin b'chol divareinu u'mikreinu shekulam nisim ein b'am tevel u'minhago shalolam. So here's going to be the line that we're going to struggle with. A person does not have a chelek in Toras Moshe until he believes that everything, seemingly what he's saying, is a nes. There's no such thing as tava minhago shalolam. Bein b'rabim, bein b'yachid. This is true even for a yachid. This isn't going to be important because later he's going to distinguish between yachid and rabim, seemingly. Elim yaseh mitzvos yatzlichanu scharo. That is nisim nistarim. Nisim nistarim is if you do the mitzvos, you'll be rewarded and succeed. Vim yavor aleihem yachrisu anshav hakol b'gzeiras elyon. Okay. And that's what he mentions in Bereshis are full of nisim nistarim and brachos and klalos and the like. Likewise, the Ramban expresses the same ideas in his Drashas Tarsa Shem Tamima, which you could read on page 34. The Drashas Shem Tamima is an excellent essay. It was given as a drasha by the Ramban, in which he presents many of his most important yesodos. It's on the Pasuk in Tehillim Tarsa Shem Tamima Shefes Nefesh, which talks about how the Torah is greater than nature. The beginning of Yud Tes talks about how a person, a human being, can recognize God through nature, and then it talks about how the knowledge that we obtain of God through Torah is even greater than that. And in that drasha, therefore, he explains why it is that Torah is so important, and goes through a number of core ideas. And he writes here, on page 34, V'yadua ki ose mitzvah b'lo kavana, o mi shelo yizbonein ba, lo asa b'shlemos. Aval ha-mizbonein ba, kegon kana mezuzah b'dinar, again mezuzah, kava b'pischa v'niskaven lizbonein ba, uv'inyana, hinei hoda b'yichud v'chidosh ha-olam uv'ashkacha. Why is it so important when we do mitzvos, to do mitzvos b'kavana? Because the whole purpose of mitzvos is to inculcate within us the values that they reflect. So, for example, when a person is koveh mezuzah b'pischa, so he's acknowledging achdos Hashem and Hashgachas Hashem. Now, if you were to put up your mezuzah without kavana, without paying much attention to what's in it, and when you passed by the mezuzah, you didn't contemplate about its meaning, as the Rambam explains, so then you would have missed the point of the mitzvah. And therefore, doing mitzvos with kavana, even if you hold mitzvos enim shichas kavana, is on a totally different plane than doing mitzvos without kavana, because the purpose of mitzvos to instill these values, as he told us before, is only accomplished or largely accomplished when done with kavana. And skipping to the bold section, ukshanu ma'ayin yafe anuroin she'en la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, practically the same lashon is we saw in his Pirush al Torah. There's no chelek in Toras Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom. At yamin shekol divareinu umaseinu kulam nisim ein bahan tava umenhagu shel olam shaharei yehudei haTorah kula nisim umosim gemurim. Now here we already are beginning to have a clue, perhaps the beginnings of a resolution, which is he says that why is it that a person has no chelek in Toras Moshe if he says that. If he doesn't say that, kol dvareinu ma'aseinu kulam nisim, because after all, you're in denial of the Yehudei Torah. Meaning to say, again, the places where the Torah says that if you follow God, if you do that which is right, you'll be rewarded, and even rewarded on this world. And therefore, someone who was to say that there is no hashgacha, at least in a supernatural sense, is definitely denying Toras Moshe. Because if you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not intervene in the world, even in non-overtly supernatural ways, If you say that except for the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim there is no Hashgacha, then there's no way to read Parshas Bechukosai, because Parshas Bechukosai says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does intervene in the world. However, we're going to look shortly at his commentary on Bechukosai and see exactly what he means when and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes in this way. And to continue, Ki anisim amfursar morim al chidush hayadiya sheyesh lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu beprate olam v'al hashkach v'anisim anistarim ladas ki mamin ba'onesh averus uschar mitzvos uladas kol hamispalel v'chol hanosei einav l'shamayim. It's not only that, but any time a person davens, they're effectively acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu hashkacha. When you daven Shmona Esrei and you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for refuah or for Parnasa or for Geula, you're clearly acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a role in the world in our day-to-day living. And if you were to, again, deny this, so then there would be no makom whatsoever for tefillah. Kula modim al chidush v'al yediyah v'al hashkach v'odah mitis ela shehi nisteris. So let's compare these two Rambans with the following. This is a Ramban from Bereishis Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Tes. And he writes, Ki yediyas Hashem shehi hashkachaso ba'olam hashafel hi lishmor haklalim. The yediyah of Hashem is first and foremost to protect the species. This is what we call hashkacha klalis. We'll elaborate upon this later. Meaning to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach in a general way on, with respect even to animals and the like, for the preservation of their species. This is a distinction we already saw in the Rambam, where the Rambam said, I accept Aristotle with respect to animals, but not humans. V'gam b'nei ha'adam munochim bo lemikrim ad bo es pekudasam. Here the Ramban says something startling in light of what we saw earlier. Namely, that human beings are left to mikra ad bo es pekudasam, which means until they die, or perhaps until they have the merit to be considered and remembered, like Vayifkod, to be remembered for direct hashkacha. Aval bechasidav, so all this is with regular people. With regular people, they are left to mikra. However, bechasidav, yasum elav libo ladas oso befrat, lios shmiraso davka bo tamid. When it comes to chasidim, there is constant hashkacha by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, of course, is very reminiscent of the distinction that the Rambam makes, especially in 351, where he says, and uses the same word, a chasid has, who is constantly cleaves and attaches himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will constantly be mashkiach upon them. Lo tipared hayediyah v'azchir mimenu klal. Ketam lo yigra mitzadik einecha uvo b'ze psukim rabim kedechsiv hinei ein Hashem al yireyah v'zulasa. There are many psukim, the Ramban writes, that indicate that tzadikim and chasidim have a higher level of hashkacha. The pasuk says, Eine Hashem el Yireyav, mainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a higher degree of cognizance of upon those who fear him. As the Pasuk in Eov says, Lo yigara mitzadik einav, when it comes to a tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't avert his eyes, implying though that non-tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to some degree leave them to mikra. So how do we resolve this? So one tool, which is oftentimes very helpful in terms of understanding the Ramban, is to look at the Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya will oftentimes cite the Ramban and explain it. And if we take a look at the Rabbeinu Bachya on this pasuk, which can be found in footnote number 53, turn to page 35, Rabbeinu Bachya explains the Ramban as follows. V'tzarech shetaskil, ki hashgacha ba'olam hashafel b'min ha'adam hi klalis upratis. There is two types of hashgacha in this world. There's hashgacha klalis and hashgacha pratis. When it comes to hashgacha klalis, that's something that is shayach to balei chayim, rak kedei l'kayim hamin. So hashgacha klalis upon animals is only, as we said, the preservation of the species, as opposed to the hashgacha of hapratis on human beings, which particularly relates to their activities. So let's give an example. This is a distinction that you see in many Rishonim, and you'll see this distinction even among the Rishonim, like the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch and the like, who take a more expanded view of providence. Now, at first glance, this notion that when it comes to animals, you have hashgacha klalis only, but you have hashgacha pratis, would seem to contradict the notion, which is frequently appears in, among others, Hasidic Sfarim. And God willing, next week we'll talk about the Hasidic approach, the Baal Shem Tov and Reb Tzadok, their approach to hashgacha. But it seems to be a contradiction, right? Here, HaKadosh Baruch, the Ramban is saying that when it comes to animals, there's klalis, and when it comes to humans, there's pratis. And I'm not saying that there isn't a disagreement, but it's not as great as it might seem at first. And that's as follows. When it comes to hashgacha klalis, let's say upon animals, so what that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested he's not mashkiach on Betsy the cow for the sake of Betsy the cow. Whether Betsy the cow has a stomachache one day or, you know, trips on a rock or the like, that's not something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach upon. Whereas when it comes to a human being, as we'll see, that's not the case. Sometimes, at the very least, when a person trips or has a stomachache or the like, that's a result of hashgacha. Now, however, if a certain person is a cow owner and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be mashgiach on them, let's say, for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that he's going to experience a financial suffering, and he's a person who owns cows, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu might cause the cows that he owns, he might, let's say, this Yankel owns Betsy the cow, so he might cause her to get sick and die. Now, that is hashgacha on the cow, but not for the sake of the cow. It's for the sake of Yankel, the owner of the cow. For the sake of the cow, there's only hashgacha for the min in general. And thus, when we look at some of this farm that expand hashgacha, we have to recognize that distinction. If something happens to Betsy the cow, that might be a result of hashgacha pratis, but it also doesn't contradict the notion that for animals there's only hashgacha klalis, because when it comes to hashgacha klalis, the purpose of Betsy the cow getting sick is not for Betsy the cow, but it's only insofar as Betsy the cow relates to Shimon or Reuven, whoever owns him. So that's the first type of hashgacha klalis, which is shayach to animals. Then the Rabbeinu Bachya continues, however, Vashkacha pratis shebemin ha'adam nechleka l'shnei chalakim. So within hashgacha pratis, there are two categories. Hashgacha lo bo leida kol pratei ma'asav u'machshivosav. V'hashgacha bo lehagen alav u'lehatzilo min ha'mekatregim. And then the Rabbeinu Bachya says, the first category is shayach to everybody, and the second category is shayach to chasidim and tzaddikim. Namely, 2a is hashgacha that everyone has. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on always, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of all the goings-on in the world. And that's true even if they're left to mikra, because most people are left to mikra. And it's only chasidim which are zoche to the higher level of providence, namely hashgacha pratis, in which they are protected from all mikra. And just as they are constantly aware and cognizant and thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect them and save them from all mikra, from any type of happenstance or the like. So for a chassid, every single thing that happens in their life is happening because of direct hashgacha, because they're protected from all mikra. Whereas for Beinonim, this doesn't seem to be the case, but that doesn't contradict the notion that there's still upon everybody hashgacha bo leida kol pirtei ma'asav u'machshevosav, that shayach b'chol adam Yisrael omen ha'umos. And thus, here Rabbeinu Bachya, we see, is trying to put together the two Rambans. Yes, everybody is zocha to hashgacha pratis, leida kol parte ma'asav u'machshevosav, but yet it's only the chasidim that are zocha to the higher level of hashgacha pratis, which involves shmira from all mikra. And we'll look and we'll continue seeing a number of Rambans which seem to bear out this distinction. Continuing now on top of page 35, the Ramban in Parshas Ekev, Ki Hashem lo yaseh hanisim tamid, laseis mitar haaretz b'chol eis, yorel malkosh, ulosif bidagan v'sirosh v'yitzar, ularboz gam ha'esed v'sadeh l'b'heimaushe, ya'atzor ha'shamayim v'yivshu, rak amaseh rov ha'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mashkiach in this general way, all the time for individuals. Rak amaseh rov ha'am, meaning to say there's a distinction between the yachid and the rabim when it comes to this type of hashkacha that is described, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants material success to those who follow his path. Aval yachid hu b'schuso yechya v'hu b'avono yamos. And skipping a little, v'da ki anisim lo yasu l'tovo l'ra rak l'tzadikim gemurim o l'rishayim gemurim. Here the Ramban adds a twist. He says this level of high level of hashgacha, right, these type of nisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only does for tzadikim gemurim, that we already saw in Bereishis Yud Ches, but also l'rishayim gemurim, to those who are totally wicked. Later we're going to see in Taras Adam he explains why this is true. However, this already is a very important distinction between the Ramban and the Rambam. Until now, you might have read Bereishis Yud Ches and said that the Ramban is exactly like the Rambam in 351, assuming you take the more supernatural explanation, not Ibn Tibbon's understanding of the Rambam, but Ramban's understanding of the Rambam. However, this is a clear distinction. It would not make any sense within the Rambam's model to say that tzadikim gemurim have total hashgacha as well as rishayim gemurim. Because according to the Rambam, we're dealing with hashgacha that's the result of a natural outgrowth of their dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, rishayim gemurim obviously don't have a lot of dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so would they be zocha to a higher level of hashgacha? They won't be if you learn like the Rambam, and the Rambam doesn't say anywhere that they are. The Ramban says that they are, and that's because there's a purpose and a need for hashgacha when it comes to Rishayim Gemurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to wipe them out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make sure that they get all of their schar in Olam Hazeh so that they won't get schar in Olam Haba. Like the Gemara in Bracho says, that who is somebody who gets, when we talk about Rasha V'Tovlo, we're talking about Rasha She'ena Gemura, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reward for Rishayim in this world. Why? A, as a form of punishment, but with injustice, but even more importantly, as the Ramban explains elsewhere, because that's what they want. It's not just that he's unfair, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person the reward in the place that they want, and therefore someone who's a Rasha, but who nevertheless deserves reward for certain schuyos that he did, so he'll be rewarded in this world. That's what he's interested in being rewarded. And therefore, he too will be zocha to a higher level of hashgacha. Or perhaps there are times that, for other reasons, HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to give Rishayim Gemurim total hashgacha. So, what do you see from the Ramban? It's not just a natural outgrowth, because then it wouldn't apply to Rishayim, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes will be mashkiach in an all-encompassing way when there's a particular need for it. For example, in the Rishayim Gemurim. Though that's not the case when it comes to most people. Aval abenunim kederech minhago shel olam yasa b'hem tova ora kedarkam uke'alilo sam. When it comes to benunim, they're left to minhago shel olam. He even uses the word teva, not here but elsewhere. Kedarkam uke'alilo sam. It's a hard word to translate, but probably it means that either they're left to teva as a punishment for their not always being good, or perhaps because if they act foolishly, then they will be hurt or harmed. Likewise, the Ramban in his Perush on Iyov, Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Zayin, on the Pasuk he quoted in Brachos Yudches, Lo Yigara Mitzadik Einav, writes, Ze HaKosov Mefarish Inyan Gadol B'Inyan Ashkacha Uvo B'Psukim Rabim Ki Anshei HaTorah V'Emuna Tmima Yaminu B'Ashkacha Ki HaKel Yashkiach V'Yishmor Es Anshei Min HaDam Kimo SheKosov Gadol Eitz V'Rav HaLila Sheinecha HaPekuchos Al Kol Darchei B'Nei Adam. 36 Laseis Lish Kidrachav U'Kifri Ma'alalav V'Amar David Kol Levavos Doresh Hashem V'Chol Yetzer Machshevos Mevin. When it comes to everybody, there is hashkacha in the sense of yedia, kol levavos doresh Hashem, velo ba betora o benivua shayakel mashkiach v'shomer yisheshar briosh eno medabros rak shomer asaklalim, like we saw before, bechlal hashemayim v'tzva'am v'lachein hutra shchita l'tzarech adam. Here, the Ramban is quoting Rambam. Rambam, he says that the reason for the permissibility of shechita is because there's only hashkacha klalos for the animal. This, as we saw last week, is an idea from the Rambam. In fact, this whole paragraph, which we're about to read, is more or less paraphrasing the Rambam in 351, as the Ramban notes at the end. We noted last week also that this seems to contradict, or at least present a different perspective on shechita than the one that he says in Pirshei HaTorah in Bereishis Perek Aleph, which you could see in 57 footnote. V'gam l'chaper al nafsho senu b'damam al zbeach v'tam hazeh yaduo varer ki ha'adam mipnei shu makiras elokav yashkiach v'yishmor oso. Why is it that man, that human beings as opposed to animals, have this higher level of hashkacha? Precisely because he's makiras elokav. And hence, the more he's makir elokav, the more hashkacha. U'min ha'tam hazeh. For this reason, Yishmor es hatzadikim, because hashkacha is a result of hakara be'elokav, so then tzadikim have greater shmira. Right? When we talk about the higher level of tzadikim, it's always phrased in terms of shmira. Ki kasher liban ve'einem tamid imo, kein einei Hashem aleihem mereishis hashana v'adach rishana ad ki achasid hagamur Hadaveik be'elokav tamid velo yipared, someone who is always cleaving and thinking and contemplating about the Ribono shel Olam, hadaveik b'machshavto bo b'inyan minyanei olam, yeh nishmar tamid b'chol mikra azman, will always be protected from mikra, afilu ha'havim b'tava. He will even be protected from tava. So again, here we have the Ramban freely using the word tava, and acknowledging that only Hasidim will be protected from Teva, not everyone else. Even though, again, this apparently doesn't contradict, as we explained what he said before, that anyone who believes in Teva is Kofir B'Taras Moshe Rabbeinu. Skipping a little, U'mipnei Shirova Olam Hein Minakasa Zos HaEmtzayis, since most people are in this middle cot, not the Tzadikim Gemurim, who are Zochat to constant Shmira, or the Rishayim Gemurim, so then, Tzivza Torah Hichaleitz HaNilchamim, Vinyan Mashuach Mulchama Lahashva Yiriyam. That's why we have many mitzvot that relate to Hishtadlos. There's a Mashuach Mulchama that tells Yiriyam, people who are afraid to go back, and the like. Kim Ruyim Heim Yotzim B'Ma'at Gai V'Notzchim B'Li Neshek. Because otherwise, if they were worthy, they would win even without any ammunition. V'ilu Ayu Chayavim B'Nitzuach Am lo yo'il lamo, and if they shouldn't have won, having all the weapons in the world won't help. Raka inyan ki ruyim lisnan heig b'derech ha'teva v'amikra. And again, he concludes this with the notion that's often the Rambam. Yet again, in this very same commentary, in his Hakdama to Iyov, he mamish quotes the same thing from Bo. You could see that below, right? V'yashkiach davar hakol b'mikra lam. We'll actually read this at some important point. In his Hakdama to Iyov, he writes, Amar Machaber, Davar Yadua, Ki Amuna Biyadiyas Hakel Yisparach V'minei Hashfalim V'yishem V'ashkachaso B'klal V'pratim Pinos Gedolos Mitoris Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Ki HaKofer B'zeh Kofer B'Torah B'chlal. Someone who denies Hashkacha is denying all of Torah. V'chein HaKofer B'ashkacha Sheyomar She'en HaBorei Mashkiach B'vnei Adam Im Yasu Tova O Ra
ואם יסיגם דבר הכל מקרה להם, לא בחפץ אלא בכוונתו, גם לזה אין לו חלק לעולם הבא. Someone who denies השגחה, now again, notice how he says, someone who denies all השגחה, someone who says that hakol mikra is someone who has ein lo chelak l'olam haba. Not someone who says there is mikra, but someone who says everything is mikra is ein lo chelak l'olam haba. V'lo zikaron v'tzdaka b'torah, lo b'mitzvoseha v'lo b'yudeim.
Here he makes a very important point. Volbi makes the stiyuk and Ali sure that anyone who has inappropriate or false hashkafos, for example, someone who denies hashkacha, not only does he have no chelik in olam haba, but there's no value to his mitzvos. Lo b'mitzvoseha. Mitzvos which are done in a way that doesn't reflect true hashkafos are of absolutely no value. So here we see the similar idea that we saw earlier in the Rambam from his Akdama to Perka Chelek, that there is no value in mitzvos when they are done without the foundation of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hashgachaso. And this, of course, is very mistaber in light of we saw earlier today that the purpose of all mitzvos is that what? The kavanas hamitzvos shenamin belokenu v'node elav shehu bra'o. Since the purpose of mitzvos is to declare our belief in God, then mitzvos done without a belief in God are of little to no value. Those of you who are in the Yevamos Kolel will know that this is actually a topic that recently came up on Daf Samach Beis, where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu broke the Luchos, sorry, Moshe broke the Luchos and was correct for breaking the Luchos. Why? Because he said that what value is there in the mitzvos if they don't stem from proper beliefs? He made the Kal V'chomer from Karban Pesach. Just like a mummer is pasul from Karban Pesach, so too a people, if the Jewish people rejected and don't have proper values, the Torah is wrong. And even though Tosis points out the Kal V'chomer wasn't muchrach, nevertheless, because you could have said they should have done tshuva, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim al yado. And likewise, Tosfos coming up in Yevamos and Daf Ayin Aleph makes a similar point. He says that a person, a mummer, is basically pater from mitzvos, and in what sense is he chayiv to do mitzvos? The chayiv lechol b'matzah umarer imas tshuva. He has to do tshuva and then do the mitzvos. The Rambam, likewise, in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin, writes that someone who does mitzvos but does not have proper beliefs, osa mitzvos tarfin osan bifanav. Now, this gets into a very important and bigger issue than we'll be able to discuss today. Orthopraxy, is there value of doing mitzvos without having proper beliefs? What we see from the Ramban and the Rambam is that there is, relatively speaking, very little value. Doesn't mean that practically someone shouldn't do it. If someone comes to you and says, I don't believe, should I still keep on doing mitzvos? You might advise him and urge him to continue doing mitzvos. Maybe doing the mitzvos himself will bring him back. But nevertheless, you see here both the Ramban and the Rambam stressing the important connection between correct emunos videos and correct beliefs. And then the Ramban continues on page, I think we're on 38. Skip a little bit. Here he notes v'im nisakesh lomar lo yamusa ochel truma b'shino yateva rak yazmin hakel ma'achalim olidim choli hinei ma'arechas mazal mishtane b'cheto lira o b'schuso l'tova v'ein hateva manhig. He acknowledges that there are different legitimate approaches to hashgacha. For example, we know that someone who eats truma will have misa b'dei shamayim. Now, what is the nature of that? So he says, well, it might be more supernatural, or it might be more naturalistic, but there's definitely hashgacha here. If you take the more naturalistic approach, it would mean that God will cause him to eat foods that are harmful for him and cause him to die, as opposed to just directly making him sick from the truma. But either way, there has to be hashgacha. And he quotes here at the bottom another very powerful line: "V'yesh davar machiv halavavos umadiv hamachshavos mimenu livado nimshechu rabim b'chol hadoros l'kfir gemura." There's something that extraordinarily pains the heart, namely seeing the righteous suffer. He's writing this, of course, at the beginning of the book of Iyov, and he says that's what causes people to become kofrim. It's not, again, philosophical issues that are at the root of kfira. It's seeing a child dying of leukemia or the like. That's what causes people to become kofrim. And that's, of course, what he's going to address here in his commentary to the book to Iyov. And he writes, interestingly enough, he addresses the issue of that's why so many times you'll find even tzaddikim calling out and asking, Lama derech rishayim tzalecha, why is tzaddik v'tovlo, rasha v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo, right? They knew the answer already, and yet they keep on calling out, and here, again, now is not the time, but he presents two different approaches. Again, on page 39 in Shar Gemul, he talks about this. Also very important paragraph, we don't have time to do it now. But he writes the same idea, Shekigon Elu E Nitzol Mehan Ela Harasha Gamar L'Gehanim. The only person that's entirely protected from Mikra, he shows based on the Gemara in Erechin, is someone who is a Rasha Gamor Muchan L'Gehanim. Shemekabel Olamo V'Shomer Nosom En HaShemayim Lasos Lo Kol Ritzono B'Olam Hazeh Shenemar Yachilud Rachav B'Chol Eis. Right? Who is it? When you look at Torah, when you look at Tanakh, when you look especially at Sefer Tehillim, the Ramban points out an amazing thing. Who is it that you see the Psukim talk about are zocha to tremendous protection? It's the Tzadikim, like we said, Einei Hashem al Tzadikim, and it's the Rishayim, like it says, Yachilud Rachav B'choleis. They're the ones that everything's going perfectly. Avar Shar B'nei Adam, Bein Tzadikim, Bein Rishayim Kulam B'chlal Minhago Shel Olam. Okay. This brings us to the end of the Ramban's opinion, just to make a couple of haros. So far we've seen that both the Ramban and the Rambam, though there are certainly distinctions, the Rambam, as we said, it might be more naturalistic, it's more determined on the intellectual component, not the Ramban. Also, the Rambam says it's just Tzadikim Gemurim, Ramban says also Rishayim Gemurim, but both of them do acknowledge that there is a distinction between tzaddikim and beinonim, and when it comes to beinonim, people that aren't tzaddikim, it may be the case that when something happens in a person's life, it's not necessarily direct hashkacha, perhaps indirect hashkacha in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves them to mikra, but it might be mikra. So at first glance, this would imply that a person take a very, very different approach to how they view the events in their lives. Namely, if I took an approach, let's say we'll see shortly, like Rabbeinu Bachya, that everything that happens in my life and everything that happens in the world is from Hashgacha, so then I'll know that if something bad happens to me, it's Hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll say, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing me, I have to do tshuva, he's sending a message, I have to do tshuva, or the like. But if you take the approach that most people are sometimes left to mikra, so then doesn't that have a major impact on the way that a person views the events in their life? And the answer, I think, and once heard from Rabbi Tursky, is that it really, there's not so much of a nafkamina. Why? Because everybody agrees to the concept that Yisurin ba'an liyadcha yifashvesh b'maisav. Everybody's going to agree to that. And even if you're going to say that, well, perhaps there's a suffix, I won't know that if something bad happens to me, it's meant as a direct hashkacha or it was because of mikra. But I'll know two things. First of all, if I'm left to mikra, that in and of itself is a lack of hashkacha and a form of onesh, as the Ramban said. And two, I'll never know. It might be hashkacha. And therefore, either way, a person should respond through Yefashvesh B'maisav. The Ramban
this we're not going to have a chance to read inside, but in his commentary in Bahar, he continues this idea. Here on the top of page 40 is where he famously says that the brachos kulam are when v'yos kol amenu kulam tzadikim. Why? Because there's no... it doesn't make sense within a realm of teva that someone who does the mitzvos will have a higher level of hatzlacha. Parenthetically, Nathan pointed out to me that the Shlah writes that he's very surprised that the Ramban could write this, because of course the Shlah says that if a person does mitzvos, those mitzvos affect the Elyonim, Olamos Elyonim, the Olamos Elyonim cause Shefa to the Olam HaTachton, and therefore even on a naturalistic level, doing mitzvos will automatically generate Hatzlacha in this world. The Ramban, at least Pasha Pshat, says no, that's a form of Nes, not Teva. But be that as it may, here's where the Ramban has his famous comments about how if Klal Yisrael is on the right Madrega, then they won't need doctors. If you look at footnote 71, we don't have time to do it now, there's a discussion of a number of Mamari Chazal and Rishonim and Achronim on this topic. The Rambam famously in his Perish Mishnah, Sam Psacha Mishnah, Perk Dalad Mishnah Yud, says that I heard people say, what many of the Rishonim do say, that the reason why the Book of Refuos was Nignaz was because people were relying on medicine too much, and as opposed to having bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says about that commentary that pshat v'ata shma hefsid ze ma'amar u'mashi yesh bo min ashkios, and only a very foolish person would say such a thing. So again, we certainly see that there are distinctions here. Another important question that emerges from the Ramban, again, we're not going to have time to discuss it today, but you could see it in the Mar Makomos on page 41, is the nature of the chova v'shtadlos. And here the Ramban, too, has a complex position. If you look, for example, in his commentary on Bereshis Lamed Beis Dalet, he says that we learn from Yaakov Avinu in his encounter with Esav that a tzaddik should not be somech on his chuyos and v'shtadel b'hatzala b'chol yicholto. Yaakov did absolutely every single thing that he could have possibly done. And he was right for doing that. And that's why we study this parsha, to learn how we should interact with people like Esav. And yet, the Ramban in other places talks about the dangers of relying, of doing too much istadlus. Again, here too, there's an important distinction. There's a distinction between reasonable istadlus and acts of desperation. Acts of desperation imply a lack of belief in hashgacha, whereas istadlus and even total istadlus don't, when that's appropriate, when that's a normal level of response. The Ramban also in many places discusses the difference, the two types of hashgacha. There's distinctions between, for example, hashgacha in Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, less hashgacha in Chutz La'aretz. There's a difference between Bnei Yisrael and Umos Ha'olam. When it comes to Umos Ha'olam, they're guided and directed through intermediaries like Sarim, as opposed to Bnei Yisrael, who have a higher level of hashgacha. And there are many differences. As I said, there are different approaches to Ramban, just as is not surprising because of the complexity of his opinion. If you want to just see two different perspectives, on page 42 and 43, there are some quotes from the Sefer Sifsei Chaim in his presentation of the Ramban, and on page 44 and 45 are excerpts from an excellent article from Dr. Berger on the position of the Ramban on Hashgacha. It's not the whole article. The citation is on the bottom of page 43. Very briefly, to just present some of the other positions. So, if we said before that the Rambam and the Ramban to some degree do limit Hashgacha, a position that seems to take a very, very broad view about Hashgacha is the Chovos Halvavos, Rav Bachya ibn Pekuda, from the second half of the 11th century. You could see this on page 46
and 47. He talks about this not just in the theoretical sense, but how this affects how a person should live. He writes very powerfully about this topic. And just to bring out the point, the extent to which you'll see the level of Ashgacha and the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Bachya, you could bring this point out in the following fashion. If you take a look at page 47, the Gemara in Ksubo Staf Lamed Amud Aleph says, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim upachim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is biyado, except that if you go ahead and perhaps you don't wear a coat when you go out in the cold, so then, as Rashi explains, pa'amim ba'im b'pshia. If a person acts b'pshia, sometimes things will happen to them, bad things will happen to them. And Tosfos over here writes that how could you say HaKol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim upachim? The Gemara says you shouldn't do things that are dangerous, like stand under a ladder. And Tosus answers, "Da'avadesh biyado lahamis atzmo." Obviously, a person could kill themselves. They could be reckless. And therefore, the notion that you shouldn't do something very reckless or dangerous does not pose a problem, because obviously, a person could kill themselves. And we wouldn't say hakol bidei shamayim with respect to that, right? If you kill yourself, you're going to die. Whether or not there's a gzeira that you should die, right? Presumably, just like we say, HaKol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Mir Shemayim. And therefore, this doesn't present a problem. So if you look, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in the Kobetz Ma'amarim points out that though Tosfos takes it as pashut, as obvious, that B'yado L'hamis is Atzmo, if you look actually at the Rabbeinu Bachya, Rabbeinu Bachya says, of course, it's not true. Everything is B'dei Shemayim, and it's not B'yado L'hamis is Atzmo. Just look at how many people attempt suicide and don't succeed. Right? Most people that attempt to. So, no, it's not true. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not nigzar alecha, that you should die, then even if you attempt to kill yourself, you will not succeed. This, of course, is also reminiscent of an even greater, a bigger chiddush, the famous comments of the Or HaChaim in Bereishis Lamed Zayin Chaf Aleph in footnote 73 on page 47, who seems to go even further. Not only is it biyado lahamis es atzmo, but because people have bechira, it's possible that someone will die through the bechira of someone to murder them, even if there wasn't nigzar alav that they should die. Now, that's already a very big chiddush, though there might be a Zohar that supports that. The mainstream view is not that way. While a person perhaps has the power to kill themselves, they don't have the power to kill somebody else. Just like many attempts at suicide are failures, so too attempts at murders are failures. So that's the approach of Rabbeinu Bachya, which again you could see on page 48 as well, 49 and 50. Another position that's worth considering, again we're not going to have a chance to do it in depth today, but it's quite interesting, is that of the Kuzari, which you could read in his fifth essay. And here the Kuzari, again, has a complex opinion where he points out that there are a number of different ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in the world. And while it's true everything does ultimately go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it does so in various ways. So if you turn, for example, to page 52... He writes that a person can truthfully say that everything that happens through divine decree, while another can truthfully say that all things happen through human decision and circumstance, and it will depend on your perspective. They both could be correct, because some things happen directly and some things happen indirectly. And therefore, all phenomena trace back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, though, in one of four ways. They're either divine, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly intervenes, or they're natural, or they're incidental, or they're chosen, meaning to say that they're chosen freely by humans because humans have free will. Even choices made by humans and humans have free will are ultimately traceable back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives them that power and gives them the choice. And thus, for example, he says that if you look on page 54, King David of blessed memory cited three different causes for death. He said, God will smite him. Sometimes a person will die because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will smite him. That's divine cause, the first type. Or his day will come and he will die. That's natural cause. Or he will descend and perish in battle. That's incidental causes. And David left out the fourth cause,
because only an idiot would kill themselves. So that is the approach of the Kuzari. I guess we'll stop here. God willing, next time we will finish the approach of Hashkacha. Next class especially we'll focus on the Mahalich of the Ramchal and the difference between history and individuals. Have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos. Thank you very much.